Thank you. It is so good again to have you join with us the same time each week, and it is our privilege to come into your homes and to share this time with you. We do hope that you have your Bibles out, and I might say it's a real encouragement when we have people write and say, you know, I'm reading my Bible now. I'm really getting interested, finding things that I didn't know was in the Bible, and really getting interested about seeing what God has to say about things. And I think sometimes, the Lord, we get going through some trials and testings, and maybe those things are good in a way because they point us to the Lord, and they get us back to studying the Bible, back to the Bible where God wants us to be. We're going to continue now here in our study, and we're on the last church now. We'll finish that up today on the Church of the Laodicea. And this is the last of the seven churches here, and it means the people's rights. And it was straying away from the spiritual leadership of the Bible and turning to the philosophies of men. And yet, we'll notice here in verse 17, if you will, in the third chapter of the book of Revelation here, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. And yet their opinion of themselves didn't coincide with God's opinion of them. And, they were filled full of pride. Everything was going good and everything. But God said on the inside, you're really spiritually bankrupt. There's just nothing there. And we find out here, they thought they were rich, they thought they were wealthy, but they were dead. This is called dead Protestantism, and how true that is. So let's go back up here now. And this church ran from about 1910, covered a period in church history, up until the rapture. And we pick it up here in verse 14 of the third chapter of Revelation. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I want to stop here, and I guess there's nothing worse in God's eyes than to see a person say, I'm a Christian, and then live like the devil. You know, not only is it sickening in God's eyes, but it's the same way, and it's just as sickening in other people's eyes. I was talking to a man the other day, and this man I know because I've had it come back to me so many times that he has went behind our back, and he has just talked just nothing but two-faced. But I was talking to him a little bit, and you know, when I was talking to him, the man couldn't even look me in the face. And that was amazing. Because, you know, when somebody talks to you and they can't look you in the face, you can rest assured they've got a guilty conscience about something. Well, in this particular case, this guy has told a lot of things and run around, and he should have a guilty conscience because he hadn't done anything but run around town and lie. But it was an amazing thing. I stopped to talk to him, and he couldn't even look me in the face. You know, that's what the Laodiceans were. And there's a lot of people like that today. They got a guilty conscience. They're not hot. They're not cold. They can't face you. They don't want to be around you because they've done things behind your back, you know, and they've told lies. They've done sneaky things. They're two-faced. And their conscience just won't let them look you in the face. Well, this was the kind of church here that Laodicean had. It was a church where they were backslidden. And they couldn't stand to see the Lord face to face because of a guilty conscience of selling the Lord right straight down the drain. And they weren't hot or they weren't cold. In other words, they were undependable. They were not someone you could count on, only if they were with a certain group. And then they borrowed everybody else's backbone. They didn't have any of their own. And let me ask you something. We try to teach our young people this. You know what? You don't have to go with the flow. You don't have to go with the crowd. You develop your own character. And you do it the way God wants you to do it, and let these losers go. You don't have to run with this teenage crowd at school that wants to go out and drink and souse it up and do things immoral and other things like that. Don't show respect to anybody and just want to run ramshot over. Let them go. Let them go. And you're going to find out they're going to have nothing. They may run with a group, but I just want to say this. There's no respect. Now, this man I talked to, I don't think he knows this, but outside of where he lives, everybody talks about him. And he has no respect whatsoever. And in fact, I've had people say, you know, don't get around that man. He's two-faced. Man, he's two-faced. You can't trust him for nothing. He'll be nice to your face, but he'll stab you in the back. And I'm sure you know people like that as well as I do. Well, it's not something you're mad at a person for. I feel sorry for him. I really do. He got such a guilty conscience, you can't even look somebody in the face. You're in bad shape, brother. You're going to find out you only got two or three friends like that and really can't function in society because you don't have any character. This is what the Church of Laodicea was filled full of. And you know what? It covers a period of time from about 1910 up until the rapture. And do you know what? You're living in this time right now in this church age where it's hard to find character in people anymore. You know, it used to be you could shake somebody's hand and you could say, you know, I promise I'm going to do that. It's hard to find people who keep the word anymore. The values of America have been so undermined by your modernistic philosophers and your educators that the only thing important is, you know, you just get your own thing and you do your own thing. But we notice here in verse 15, God says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou were cold or hot. I would rather a man say, you know what, I disagree with you on this or on that, and do that in a kind way to your face, than have somebody run behind your back, wouldn't you? You'll never trust that person that does that. And you know, I've said this to a few people, and I guess I learned it years ago, that you know, people that will talk to you about somebody else will talk to somebody else about you. And it may take a long, long time to get back, but people laugh at that. And people who've been around enough to know human nature a little bit, and you don't have to be a philosopher to know it, you know good and well that a person that always is running somebody else down is running you down too. I told this to a lady sometime back, and I think it shocked her to death. And said, you know what, people that talk to you about me are the same people that talk to other people about you. Well, I don't think that ever registered with her before. I really don't. But how true it is. How true it is. And I'm not about to do it, but if I ever revealed to her what some of the so-called friends of hers said about her, she probably would mark them off of the list. But that's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is we're living in a Laodicean period now up until the rapture where there are going to be no values whatsoever anymore. They are decreasing and in a landslide. I just heard a radio broadcast come over this the same station we're on here. And the man came on. It was on a syndicated column that he has. I can't remember who he was now, but I got so engrossed in what he said I couldn't believe it because we say the same thing. I thought it was myself talking almost. But he said, you know what? And he got on the point of wearing a hat. I don't know how he happened to get on it. Other than he was saying, we have no principles or respect in America anymore. None. We're not teaching our children that. And I said, oh, mister, if I could only talk to you a minute. We're in the Laodicean age. God prophesied us that this is the way it's going to be because the values are gone. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? I would never think of going in a restaurant and sitting and eating with my hat on, he said. And this was just one of the principles that he brought out. And he said, I go in and I see, he said, and then he gave a word of advice to teenagers. He said, if teenagers ever go with some clod, and that's what he called them just old clods, he said, that had no manners, did not know how to treat a young lady, would not open the door, and basically, if he has not learned to take off his hat inside the house or inside a restaurant, then you better dump this loser right off of the bat. Because you're going to have problems with this guy and functioning in society. He doesn't know anything on how to operate in a social world. Well, the Laodicean period, let's go on down and see what God has to say about it. And you're seeing these things right before your eyes, and God wrote it clear back here in 96 A.D. Let's go on down. He says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased in goods, and so on and so forth. He says, you think you're rich, but you have nothing. Well, that's true. Notice in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried by fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. In other words, get your eyes open. You're not always going to function in a little town, whether it be Walnut Grove or Revere or wherever it might be, or a Tracy or a Lamberton or a who knows what. There are other places in the world. And brother, if you don't learn where you live by your mother and your father or your church that teaches you principles, you'll never be able to leave a little small town because other places will not accept you. You cannot go in and do things and not take your hat off in a respectable place. People will laugh at you behind your back. You can't go and walk in ahead of your wife and not exercise those kind of manners there, and you just walk in like some clod, you know, and so forth. That's not tolerated in a social world, but we're in a world where all of those things are deteriorating. You see, there's no value on them. There's no value on human life anymore. None. We don't have the death penalty. Human life, and as one person said, you know, and I guess I've seen this sign up, said, you know, the most dangerous place in the world for a baby to be is in the mother's womb. We have disintegrated so much that we call the wrong things right. We have homosexual rights. They are perverts, is exactly what they are. They are perverts. They will pervert your children. They have an abnormal lifestyle. They go against God's way of creation. They defile God. They do not, as God says in Romans, they are burned in their lust one toward another. Now they are pressuring so much to make America like a Sodom and Gomorrah that God had destroyed because of the Sodomites and the sin. We're now calling it right. You see, have we been brainwashed satanically to go against the principles that God has laid down? The Laodicean church did. It surely did. We're wishy-washy on everything. We're not hot. We're not cold. I don't want to take a stand on anything because I don't want to offend someone. We have Christians like that. I thank God for Christians that say, hey, I want to tell you what I believe. And whenever you get a pastor or something, you call him on the phone and say, hey, what do you believe about this? Well, now, as you get this little Missy Mousy stuff, you know, I'd rather a pastor say, "I this is exactly what I believe, you know. It's an amazing thing to me. You know, I hear a pastor say one thing on what they believe, you know, you can't go to heaven unless you got good works. And then some guy will die who's nothing but the most hateful guy and drunk in town and preach him into heaven at the funeral. Boy, that's not about as two-faced I ever seen. That comes from preachers. Are we in a hot or cold? No, we're in a lukewarm. That preacher will say anything in order to not offend anybody, so he'll be the good Joe around town, you know. Well, you couldn't trust a preacher like that any further than you could throw him, could you? He's in the Laodicean church age, in the Laodicean age. He's a liberal. Therefore, he'll say what you want to hear so that he won't offend you in any way and lose a member out of his church. All of this is characteristic, you see, of what's going on. We find out when it comes to murder, we think more of the murderer than we do those who are murdered. You find out in kidnaps and rapes, one lady put two children in a car, sent it down into a pond, but we don't think that's severe enough for the death penalty. What we're saying to other people is, you can go ahead and do it and you can still live. We have no value on life. We have more value on the murderer by letting them live than we do the victim who was murdered by the murderer. We have more value on the offender than we do the offended, you see. If we didn't, we would render a capital punishment, and I might say this to you, and you're going to find this objectionable by your liberal pastors because they're the goody-goodies of your town, they're going to say anything to be appeased by you, you know. God ordains capital punishment. But being in the Laodicean age, we find out it doesn't exist, does it? That's why the criminals can walk down the street safe, and the people who are honest will get murdered and raped and shot. You see, almost every day in Minneapolis, Minnesota, some teenager shot this one, some shot that, some there. You execute capital punishment, you won't have that. You see, but then you come into your educated philosophers that I call educated idiots. Anytime you go against the Word of God, you're an idiot. I don't care who you are. You may project yourself to be educated with a degree, but that degree is nothing more than an idiot stamped on it, because the fool has said in his heart there is no God. God laughs at your phony wisdom. God laughs at your phony philosophy. And God says that's why America is in the mess that America is in today. Now, let's go on down and read some more things, see what God says. He says here in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, he's talking here to Christians also. I'm applying it generally, but primarily he's talking to Christians. I'm applying it generally as far as the age is concerned we're living in, but primarily he's talking to Christians who have departed from the Word of God, who have departed from the faith, who have walked out on the Lord Jesus Christ, who claim to be a Christian but don't even go to church. How people must laugh at them when they try to talk about the Bible and don't even attend church. They're the laughing joke of the community, or the town, wherever you live, or the surrounding area. Don't even go to church, but I'm the Bible scholar, and I'll have the answer for you. Well, yes, you will, won't you? What you don't realize is you're just laughed at. The Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Change your mind. Change your mind about what you're doing. Where are you headed? And then in verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. Sup means have fellowship. I'll have fellowship with him and he with me. And that's what Christ is saying. I want you to open up and allow me, my word, to have control of your life so that it can be productive. The Lord said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And you know what? I'll say this honestly. Of probably all of the counseling that we do, most people, not all now, I don't want this misunderstood, not all, but most people bring the problems and the troubles on themselves unnecessarily because they refuse to do what God tells them to do as a Christian. You cannot. You have children. We beg parents, bring your children to church. Bring them. Don't send them. Bring them. Why can't you bring them? And you know what? Those children never forget. Years later, they'll say, I wish Mommy would have brought me. I wish Daddy would have brought me. But they send them. And then when the kids get into trouble, what they don't really understand is they really wanted a mother and a dad that really cared enough to lead the way, not shove the way. See, when you lead the way, you take your children by the hand and you walk first and you bring them into church. But when you push them away is, you just furnish them transportation to get them out of your hair on a Sunday morning, you see. That's really what it amounts to, isn't it? I think it is. If you really cared about your children, you really cared about the most precious thing that God's given you, you wouldn't even think twice about trying to con up some excuse and try to con God of why you can't go to church. You're a miserable, wretched, poor Christian. And then when trouble comes and God in His grace allows Christians to go on and go on and go on only for a season. They can enjoy sin for a season. And then when God says, that's it, boy, that's all she wrote. And God comes down with His chastening hand. He may have to take one of your children. He may have to inflict physical sickness upon you. It may take some accident of some kind. Who knows? But you brainwashed yourself so much. No, nothing can happen. God loves me. God loves me. I can rebel against God, but nothing's going to happen. Boy, are you ever brainwashed. Satan really got a hold of you, didn't he? And then when all hell breaks loose, or maybe God just takes His hand off and says, all right, live your miserable life the way you want to. And when you invite the problems and everything like that and they begin to come, then who are you going to blame? And then they'll turn around and come to the preacher and say, oh, how could God do this to me? Can Satan ever brainwash a Christian, can he? God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Let me ask you, are you a Christian? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? You're living in the Laodicean age when everybody just wants to do that which is right in their own eyes. Live for their own pleasures, you know. Go out and fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and my sexual desires. Just go out and give it a fling, for tomorrow we may die, and don't even think about what's going to happen. What a tragedy. And then when things do begin to happen, and everything seems to fall to pieces, and then we come to the preacher and say, oh, how could God do this to me? I'll say it again, not always at all, but sometimes and a lot of the times, Christians are their own worst enemy because they will not be faithful to their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're too lazy to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. They're too pride-filled, thinking they have been hurt so much. How do you think Christ is hurt when you're a Christian that He died for? He came from heaven to earth to die on the cross. And you don't even appreciate it enough to get up and get yourself cleaned up and spend an hour in church to learn the Word of God that God has written to you. I would have to say a Christian that doesn't do that is probably the most disrespectful, unappreciative person that you'll ever meet. And I think God thinks the same way. He thinks enough of it to say, you know what, I hope, I stand at the door, I stand at these churches, start preaching the gospel. I stand here, spiritually speaking, at the door. You've pushed me outside. Yes, the Holy Spirit's there, but you've quenched the Holy Spirit. There's no more conviction because your heart is so hardened and your sin is so great that there's no conviction whatsoever anymore. I can't penetrate that hard person that once was a nice, sweet, loving person that went to church and read their Bible, was a witness for the Lord, but now they're just like a rock. Nothing can penetrate them. Well, maybe tomorrow may be the day when the Lord's going to grab you by the seat of the pants and turn you inside out. Nobody knows, but you know what? If you're listening, you're probably thinking, it will never happen to me. Well, my friend, if you're that fooled, I don't know what any preacher could say or any person could do. God just wrote it in the Bible in the Laodicean age here and said, I stand at the door and knock. You can almost hear the Lord begging, please, please come back to me. There's heartache ahead that you never dreamed of. I know that there's going to be trials and testings. I'll help you through it, but you're bringing heartache upon yourself. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, and I will sup with him. I want to have fellowship, and I want to say this. We're walking through this old world here. There's danger on every side, folks. I'll tell you, there sure is. Everywhere you go, some nut may come down the street. He may pass you in a car and just roll down the window, start shooting a gun at you and kill everybody in the car. You're living in such a crazy society anymore where there is no law. We've handcuffed the policeman instead of the policeman handcuffing the criminals. And we've said, you know, if you go into a place with a search warrant and you see 20 pounds of cocaine, you can't take it. You know, are we nuts? I think that society and law needs a complete, complete overhaul to protect the innocent and start convicting the guilty. And I feel sorry for the policeman. I don't know how. We ought to, more than anything, respect our police force, our policemen, to try to do a job when they've had their hands so handcuffed with a bunch of idiots up there passing legalities and then enforced it by the Supreme Court. They ought to wipe the whole stinking mess of them off of there and get somebody in there that's got some common sense, get the criminals behind bars instead of the innocent people being sued by the criminals. Yes, we're in a sort of a fouled-up society, aren't we? I thank God for our policemen, and I'll tell you my position. I pray for our policemen that we have, our local policemen, our sheriff's department. I really do. And they have a dangerous job. They can get shot. And if you want the truth, not a whole lot of people is going to care if you want the truth. And it takes a lot of courage to be in their position today with the way the Supreme Court does, the way your prosecutors do when they don't want to prosecute. You know, it may take a feather out of their hat if they don't win a case because they may be heading for a judgeship somewhere, you know. And after all, if we would take a questionable case, even though the person we know and you know may be guilty, but I'm not going to risk losing a case because I want to go on record as saying to the Minneapolis Tribune, I have been a prosecutor and I have never lost a case. Yeah, because you don't have enough backbone to take some that you should prosecute because you want a sure thing. What it really means, you're a spineless, gutless prosecutor. Really. I'm not saying that about our local one. I'm saying that about any prosecutor. And being on the police force for a large number of years, I've seen prosecutors do that, and we have some today doing the same thing. No wonder we don't have law and order, isn't it? And some of you people listening didn't know that. Maybe it's good you find it out. Maybe it's good if you see somebody that ought to be prosecuted, and you wonder in your mind, I wonder why this person isn't prosecuted. Why don't you call the prosecutor up and find out who he is and go up there and talk with him and tell him, Mister, you can be voted out, I think, maybe, you know? Why don't you do your job? Are you getting paid off? What's the problem, you know? And find out what really is going on, because without the prosecution, without the police department, you and I don't have a chance. And truthfully, I'm a little sick and tired of seeing the hands of the policeman tied. I'd like to see them have liberty to prosecute the criminals instead of some technicality of getting them off. Wouldn't you? I would. That's my feelings. You may disagree, and I hope you'll write me and tell me if you do. Be kind about it when you do. I'll try to be kind in giving you my opinion. But at least in the Laodicean age, we're in a time when everything's disintegrating here. Nobody will stand up and say, this is what I believe, because they don't want to offend somebody. I want to tell you this. I would respect you, and I want to tell you this. Other people respect you. If you disagree with someone, you kindly say so. You have a right to your opinion, and I'll tell you my stand. I would fight for your right to disagree with me. I most assuredly would. And I would totally respect you if you do it in a proper manner and you do it to my face, because I would do it to your face instead of run behind somebody's back or sit in a bar somewhere, and instead of guzzling down your slop and then talking behind somebody's back, go to their face and sit down over a cup of coffee and be the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be. But in the Laodicean age, we don't have much of that anymore. But it's highly respected where it exists. Well, I might say this. I see our time slipping away. He says in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down on my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Either you're a person that is so hard that the Holy Spirit can't penetrate that hard heart of yours. You wouldn't listen to anything if a sledgehammer hit you over the head. You would have an excuse for it or something, or say it didn't hurt. But in conclusion, you know, no one can do anything except teach the Word of God. This last church, the Church of Laodicean, is culminizing now the time before chapter 4, where we see a door opened into heaven which pictures the rapture of the church, when all the Christians are going to be taken up and disappear in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. Now, if you're listening, you're not a Christian, you're going to be offended at that. And you know what? You're probably in a cult church. And you know what? When you hear the Bible taught, you're going to accuse that church of being a cult church to cover up. So that true church doesn't expose your cultism yourself. You're going to have to use that as an attack. But in closing, it may be I've spoken to you today. Maybe you've been listening and there's been something in there that maybe God's trying to talk to you before the chastening hand of God comes. And he's trying to say, look, I love you so much. I bought you with a price. I want you to come back. Let my word have a place in your heart. Start leading the kind of life that's conducive to a Christian life. And I've come that you might have life, have it abundantly, get some happiness in your life. Get away from people that are always a downer. Get away from people always griping and complaining. Get around some people that are witnessing. Get in a good church where you got a good spirit in it and where you can be happy and enjoy yourself. That's what God wants you to do. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll do it today before it's forever too late. We'll hope you'll take time to write us. Let us know that you're listening. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.